sermon this morning comes from John chapter 14. Please turn with me there. We'll start the reading in verse 15. John 14, starting with verse 15. This is Jesus speaking. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. You will live also. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You heard that I said to you, I go away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Now I have told you before it happens, so that when it happens you may believe. I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of the world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me. Get up. Let us go from here. Pray with me. Our Father, we thank you that you give us your word. Cause us to come actively now to seek your face. Give us good understanding that we would know you more completely. And in knowing you more completely, we will love you more completely. Bless us now as we seek your face. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you love me, you will. And we could fill in the blanks. I've heard many times and many people try to force people into a circumstance or into a situation saying, if you love me, you would do this. If you love me, you would perform this or behave this way. Well, if someone says that to you and or does that to you and tries to get you to do something apart from God's word or will, that person doesn't love you. And you should immediately turn around and walk away from that person. To say, if you love me, you will act in this way or do this, apart from God's word, is shadow. Darkness. It's sin. And here we find Jesus speaking to his disciples saying, if you love me, you will then keep my commands. Is this some bully tactic? Is this him trying to force his disciples and that they would begrudgingly come along? Well, the way that God's Word works and the way that it works in a believer and in the believer's life, we look at God's Word and we see it as truth. We see it as rescue. We see it as reality. We see it as light. So Jesus here is saying, if you love me, if you love me, you're going to see truth. You're going to see light. You're going to see life. And you're going to walk in this with me. You see, obedience in Christ, it doesn't make us saved. But our obedience in Christ demonstrates affection for Christ Jesus. It demonstrates faith in Christ Jesus. So, if he says, if you love me, you will not commit adultery. He's saying, if you love me, you hear and understand that my words are good and true and that they are life. And you look at me and you have affection for me and you would follow me and you would walk in my truth. If he says, if you love me, you will not steal. If you love me, you will not murder. It's a demonstration of relationship in Christ. And so, Jesus isn't setting up this boundary or this barrier. He's not bullying. He's not pushing. But he's demonstrating it and speaking of this demonstration of love and affection. We see at the very end of the chapter where he speaks in these very terms saying, I have done exactly as the Father has told me. And so, this is all bottled up in that relationship with Christ. A relationship of light. A relationship of love. A relationship of truth and affection. Where we walk in accordance with His Word, not goose-stepping or marching along. But really, it's a walking hand-in-hand. A walking in relationship. So the call this morning is to give yourself to this relationship. Give yourself to this relationship of loving obedience. And that's going to look like things in our lives. It's going to look like, as it's spoken of in different places in the Bible, of taking off unrighteousness. And putting on righteousness. Taking off the old man. Putting on the new man. It's going to look like walking with Jesus Christ. Now, our first step in this, we look at verse 15 again. Our first step in this is remember the gospel as your foundation. And that's the foundation for your loving obedience. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. So this is bringing the idea that you do love him. Bringing the idea that you already have a place for him in your heart. There is this place of affection in you where you are committed to him. You understand who he is. You understand what he has done. And that has made an impact and does make an impact on your life. John 6:44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. So in this place of affection, God has already done as he spoke about in Hosea. He's already looked on us, and he's already seen our sinfulness. We already had that cloud of guilt and judgment over us. And from there, as it said in Hosea, he came, he took us, brought us to the wilderness, as he said, and spoke lovingly to us. And he restored us. He blessed us. And as we see in those passages there in John 14, and gave us a spirit, gave us his spirit, to respond and to have an affectionate heart towards Him. Romans 3:21-22 speak of this relationship, but now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction. And this is about our relationship with God, because a relationship with God requires a righteousness. And we're looking at that idea of righteousness, but we see that first and foremost, it's a righteousness that has already been provided for you. A righteousness placed upon you. And you, from that place, have this relationship with God. So, none of you may go out and say, so I've been kind of bad, but I've been mostly good, and if I just take care of this one area of sin in my life, then I'm good with God. I've accomplished it. I have a relationship with Him now. It's not like that. You can't pull off that relationship with God based on what you do. Your salvation's not based on works, but it's based on a righteousness apart from the law. And so after you are put in this category of this judicial righteousness, He looks on you and says, innocent. Innocent. Not guilty. Embraced. From that place, we love. From that place, we're filled with an affection. We look and we look at our report card and says, He's given me all A's. And then we go study. Because we've been completely received. We've been completely loved in grace. Now, as we look at this, and as we look at this passage, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. We wonder, what would that look like? Sometimes I think of Jesus as brothers and sisters. Jesus would get up in the morning and automatically, you know, He would get dressed and He would put His clothes on and He would go brush His teeth and He would pray and He would do His devotions and He would come out and He probably would set the table and He would say His prayers and He would say, yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. Everything that was done, and His brothers and sisters were like, oh, I can't stand that guy. Everything that He did was perfect. Everything. All the time. Is this saying that you will look like that? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Does that mean every one of them are going to be, you're just going to be this perfect demonstration of the Ten Commandments? That you will have, you can get your shirt that says Christian on it and you can walk through the world and everyone looks and says, so that's what a Christian looks like. Perfect. Wow. Is that what we imagine is going to happen? Is that what this is saying? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I think we can all look around. I think you can all read Scripture and see it's not the reality of what it's going to look like. And this is our second move. Expect to wrestle with sin. Expect to wrestle with sin. You see, we won't be, and we're not, these perfect robots that are going to pull off everything perfectly. And we could get that idea from there. But I point us to Romans 7 and Romans 6. In Romans 7:19, Paul the Apostle says, for the good that I want, I do not do. But I practice the very evil that I do not want to do. So it's saying that the reality is, there, you are going to wrestle. You're going to wrestle with sin. There are going to be trials that come upon you. There are going to be pains that come upon you. We were speaking in our session meeting and we were saying that we ought to warn the people that are coming into this church. People that want to join a church, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. You are joining yourself to another group of sinners. People who fall short. People who are going to hurt your feelings. And that's the simple reality of living in this world. It's going to be hard in the Christian life. It's hard. Struggles and battles will come. Again, Paul himself, for the good that I want to do, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want to do. So, am I setting us all up and bringing us all into the place where I'm saying, yep, you're going to sin, and that's okay? No. No, not at all. Paul there in Romans 6, verse 15, he says, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? And then he shouts, may it never be. May it never be. Never. Never. Is it okay then to live in our sin? Never is it okay to practice our sin. But 1 John 1:9 brings us this idea. It says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we see the reality that when you're saved, when Christ loves you, He's given you a heart to love Him, we're going to want to pursue Him. We're going to want to seek Him because He's beautiful and majestic. He has cared for us and loved us. And there will be this wrestling with sin in our lives. We're going to pause here before we move to our next move. It needs to be seen that the wrestling with sin isn't simply a private matter. My sin affects you. Your sin affects me. Your sins affect one another. And we have a need in our lives to be addressing one another's sins. We have a need in our lives to confess our sins to one another. And if you're not doing that, you are in sin. You are failing to live the one another's of Scripture. The life that God calls us to. So understand that your wrestling is meant to take place in the context of family. And that family's congregation. As well as household. Supporting one another, encouraging one another as we do our wrestling. And this brings us now to our next move. We look again at verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, keeping, the word keep there, it doesn't simply mean do. It doesn't simply mean you will do my commandments. It doesn't simply mean you'll do everything that I say. Another way to translate that same word is to guard. If you love me, you're going to guard my commandments. Now, as we sang in Psalm 119, I'll look there at verse 11. Your word I have treasured in my heart. So this keeping God's word, it isn't simply a doing of the word. It is that. But it's also a loving affection for what God says. Now, how often do we look at God's laws or God's commands and we see them as that stupid traffic light that's red and nobody's coming anyway? We think, oh, this is dumb that I have to stop here. Or this stop sign is stupid. We can look at God's word begrudgingly and say, He won't let me do this. He won't let me do that. He makes me do this and He makes me do that. As if this is some miserable thing in our lives. But here it's pointing out that the posture of the saved heart that's looking at God rightly, first seeing Him as beautiful and perfect, flowing from that, seeing His Word as beautiful and perfect, and that Word applying to our hearts. beautifully and perfectly. Psalm 1, verse 2 speaks about the righteous man, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. Psalm 40 is a beautiful picture of a person being rescued and saved and brought to salvation. Psalm 40 verse 8, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. So we see the place of God's word is a place in our hearts. We can get into this dangerous place where the word is something we read. We have a checklist. We read through the Bible in a year, check, and we checked off our two Old Testament chapters and our one New Testament chapter and our Psalm and did my duty to God's Word. Or we don't. And we imagine as if from there we've accomplished some righteousness. We fulfilled our duty. We fulfilled our vow. But we see here that God isn't just interested in a checklist. Something we do. But we see the place of God's Word. Colossians 3:16 says it this way. Let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And we see what flows from that, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll guard my commandments within your heart. And from that flows that loving obedience. Now this brings us to our next move, our fourth move. Remember that you are held fast by Christ Jesus. John 14:18. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Now, how do you look at that? How do you think about that? I imagine many of us could be like the Pharisees where Jesus said, if you have the one who has my word and keeps it, or my word sets you free, and they're like, what do you mean your word sets me free? I've never been a slave to anybody. We're Israelites. We've never been enslaved to anybody. Your word sets me free. Those guys were delusional at that point. Well, here it's saying, I don't leave you as orphans. And I imagine Peter would be like, what are you talking about? I'm going to my parents' house for dinner this Sabbath. No, I'm not an orphan. What do you mean you don't leave me as an orphan? But the spiritual reality, if you go back and you think in terms of the fall, where Adam knew God, and Adam was in this relationship with God, and that relationship was broken, and Adam was kicked out. You know, Adam and the sons of Adam's, they were orphans. Orphans apart from God. They were isolated. They were separated from their Heavenly Father. Now, we may look at orphans on TV and we can look at them and say, tragic, sad. It is. Transfer that to the spiritual realm. Separated from the Father of lights. Now, they were walking at this time, and they're dealing with all the sorrows and the miseries of the world. They're seeing the effects of sin constantly in ways that you and I are unfamiliar with. They're seeing people crippled and carried around on mats, people sitting around and begging on corners. They're seeing people oppressed by demons, unable to speak. People oppressed by demons and thrown into fires. Imagine the darkness of the circumstances. They were seeing a spiritual orphanage around them. People separated from the Father of lights. And Jesus says, not you.
but not you. You are not separated. You are loved. You are embraced.
In Hebrews 13:5, it says, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for he himself said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. How much of our struggling and our crimes are wrapped up in thinking we're going to be left alone if we don't do this. We'll be abandoned if we don't do this. I have to run here. I have to embrace these things so that I will be complete or held or loved or cherished. Be saying, not you. Not you. You are never forsaken. You are never lost. You are never undone. I hold you fast. In Isaiah 2:23, he said, I will sow her for myself in the land. I will also have compassion on her who had not obtained compassion. And I will say to those who are not my people, you are my people. And then we see the response. And they respond, and you are my God. That looks like something. You see, this was a woman who practiced harlotry. This is a woman that was all out in rebellion and was brought back in. And God brings her to this place and says, oh, I'm your God. And she was brought to that place and says, you are my God. And that is a place of affection and a place of thankfulness. And this is the expectation of the Christian life. That as you have been brought to the place where he says, you're mine, you're my people, we say, you are our God. And so Jesus can say, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Because we see him as our God, the one who has loved us and has put us in that place of being able with our whole heart then to give loving obedience to Christ. So give yourself to this place. He has spoken and said, if you love me, you'll walk with me. If you love me, you'll keep my commands. So give yourself. Give yourself to loving obedience in Christ Jesus. Pray with me. God, our God, we thank you for all that you have done, for loving us and for saving us. Give us hearts now to rejoice in you and to follow you. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our next psalm is Psalm 1.